The Heart Knows, a Severance Podfic, written by Cousin Shelley, read by Kaisical Podfics. No archive warnings apply, and rated for teen and up audiences. Relationship: Irving Bailiff / Burt Goodman. Additional tags: for mutual pining, touch starved, protectiveness, crying, trust issues, hugs, complicated relationships, reluctantly accepting comfort, insomnia, memory alteration, bittersweet, trust, holding hands, friendship, pining, post-canon, and canon divergence. Podficker's Notes. The post-canon in this case refers to post-season 1, as this fic was published before season 2 aired. Summary. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Author's Notes. Four Learned Foot. Podficker's Notes. Produced for Summer Podfic Swap 2025 for Piscina. Burt looked so happy. As Irving got out of his car, his dodgy left knee flaring in pain to remind him not to run for the door the way he wanted to, he hated the part of himself that wouldn't walk away and leave Burt to his husband and his clearly happy life. He had no right to interfere. What did it matter now for Burt? Retired, he was free of Lumen Industries, never to step foot on the severed floor again. What Irving and the rest were fighting against, that was in the past and now irrelevant for Burt. He should leave him alone and try to put Burt out of his mind. A decent man would do that, he thought, as he pounded on the door and screamed, "Burt!" Maybe if he could see him and speak to him one more time, tell him how he felt in no uncertain terms, then he could let him go. Wouldn't that be enough, and far better than asking for his help and possibly dragging him into this battle with Lumen? Could he really tell someone who wouldn't recognize him that he'd never felt as deeply about anything as he did for Burt and would do anything? Anything! If only Burt would remember him, for even just a moment? Irving felt helpless to stop himself as he pounded again. The door opened and Burt stared at him. What's going on? Burt's husband frowned behind him with a protective hand on Burt's shoulder. Emotion welled up inside Irving as he smiled, and his throat tightened in a sob. Burt! He reached for him and nearly fell forward when his world tilted and his unfamiliar surroundings knocked him off kilter. Burt thought someone was being murdered with the way the man shouted his name and beat frantically on their door. The man looked at Burt as if they'd known each other their whole lives. His face crumpled and his eyes glittered with tears, and Burt had never seen someone look so happy and so sad at the same time. Like the memory of a loved one's voice years after they're gone that comes to you in the form of some random noise in the breeze. Before he could say anything, he had to catch the man's shoulders as he pitched forward. "Whoa," he said softly. "Are you all right?" The urge to pull him closer into a hug, to hang on tight, startled him. But the man straightened and stepped back, slowly taking everything in like he didn't know where he was.
"I don't know. I think so."
He turned to look at the car parked out front, which must have been his, and shook his head at it.
"I'm sorry."
Paul leaned against Bert's back as if he might slip around him and get between them any second.
"You were shouting my husband's name."
The man turned back to Paul, then looked at Burt. He had such kind, curious eyes.
"Your name?"
"Yes, Burt. I'm afraid I'm at a disadvantage. I'm sure if we'd met, I'd remember you." It was true, but Burt glanced at Paul in apology. Paul clearly didn't notice, fortunately, but continued to peer at the stranger who'd been trying to beat down their door.
"You should come inside," Paul said,
leaning forward and looking up and down the street. His suggestion surprised Bert as much as the stranger. The man wiped his eyes and seemed puzzled at the dampness he found. He shook his head.
"I'm sorry to have troubled you. I don't know what—"
"Please come inside," Paul urged.
"I should go home now," the man said. "I hope I didn't interrupt anything."
"Lumen Industries," Paul said. The man snapped his gaze to Paul's.
"What?"
"Bert recently retired. His innie worked at Lumen. Does yours?"
Bert scoffed. "He wouldn't know my name out here."
Paul ignored that. "Please, come inside so we can talk in private."
Paul and Bert stepped back to welcome the man into their home. A man whose name they didn't know, but his face was so gentle and kind Bert didn't care. He wanted Irving to come in, more than he'd wanted anything in a long time.
"Please, we insist," Bert said.
The man looked around again, then drew in a deep breath and squared his shoulders before he stepped inside.
Paul took his coat and reminded the man they didn't know his name. He raked his long fingers through the short, tight curls on his head and said, "Irving." Then he smiled at Bert again, and Bert could have sworn something about him was familiar. If they'd worked together on the severed floor, recognizing each other was supposed to be impossible. But every time the man glanced at him, he had that same urge to pull him close and hang on. He should have been unsettled, a stranger pounding on his door and the shouting before forgetting where he was or anything about what had him so upset. But the closer he was to Irving, the more calm he felt. And Paul, who always loved puzzles and had always hated that Bert worked severed at Lumen, would probably have everything figured out in no time. He'd always made Bert feel safe, and something about Irving did, too. Bert sat on the couch next to Irving, with Paul on the arm of the couch behind him. Paul said,
"Irving, what do you know about Lumen, aside from your innie working there?"
Irving licked his lips, and it was obvious to Bert that he had a lot to say but wasn't sure about saying it.
He put his hand over Irving's where it rested on Bert's thigh.
"It's okay. I promise he's not a Lumen spy or something." He laughed, as if that might be the silliest idea ever. He'd never seen Lumen as something potentially sinister the way his husband had. Paul hates them and is a bit of a connoisseur of Lumen conspiracy theories. You could tell him that reptilian shapeshifters from Pluto ran the company, and he'd probably find you some evidence. Paul, used to being teased about his knack for conspiracies, slapped Bert's shoulder.
"Stop. Do you know how many popular conspiracy theories turn out to be true?"
"No, but I'll bet you do, sweetie."
"Of course. And I suspect some of the Lumen theories will be proven true someday, too. I'm just glad you're out of there now."
Bert missed it, but never let on to Paul. It's not that he could remember anything from work, so one might think it would be impossible to miss anything about it. But since he'd retired, he felt there was something absent from his life. He used to feel a spring in his step on his way home from work, and, even better, anticipation and excitement on his way there. He never knew why, but something in his day-to-day life at Lumen apparently fulfilled him and made him happy. He hadn't felt that way since he'd retired, and would give almost anything to go back to the way things were, just for those few minutes a day when he felt a joy he didn't even understand. Bert patted Irving's hand and realized he'd never let go of it. He felt a twinge, something in his chest, like a knot loosening. It was so familiar, almost like the way he'd felt sometimes getting into the elevator, knowing that when he got to the severed floor he might... Might what? Maybe because Irving still worked there, Bert was able to get a sense of whatever had fulfilled him at work. He liked being near him and having the hint of a taste of that again. Irving slipped his hand from beneath Bert's and clasped his hands together, offering a shy smile, almost an apology for pulling his hand away. Bert bit the inside of his cheek, trying not to laugh with the sudden burst of... What was that feeling exactly? His breath caught when he realized what it was. Joy. Paul was already spinning ideas and asking questions he barely gave Irving time to answer. Bert hadn't heard any of them. He cleared his throat. "Ahem. Irving, would you like a drink, or some tea or coffee?
It interrupts my sleep, but I love a nice coffee in the evening. I never sleep anyway. Coffee would be great.
Decaf?
Paul asked.
No, black and packed with caffeine is fine, Irving said.
As soon as Paul was in the kitchen, Irving turned to face Bert.
I don't know how I got here, how I knew your name, or why I'd be banging on your door. I'm truly sorry if I've upset you.
Bert smiled at him.
Do I look upset?
He leaned toward Irving.
Intrigued, yes. Maybe a little confused. But I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Lumen Industries is corrupt. I've been investigating them for years and trying to gather evidence that...
Cookies?
Paul said, stepping back into the room.
Always, Bert said with a grin, glad his enthusiasm for sweets caused the tension to leave Irving's face.
When Paul disappeared again, he touched Irving's shoulder.
You can say all this in front of Paul. It's okay, I promise you. If you've got even a hint of something off about the place, he'll be delighted. I know you don't know us, but...
Part of you knows me, it seems. Maybe even trusts me? And I trust him.
Irving stared at his hands.
It's the craziest feeling. I don't trust anybody. Half the time I don't even trust myself, he said with a bitter laugh. I don't know you, but I trust you. It doesn't make any sense.
His gentle gaze lifted to meet Bert's, searching for something. Bert lay his hand over Irving's clasped ones.
Perhaps the bond of our friendship are too strong for Lumen's technology?
One of Irving's hand turned beneath his to clutch it tightly.
I think that's a fine working theory for now.
They sat in silence, holding hands and smiling at each other until Irving let go and stood. He was clearly uncomfortable, and Bert found that oddly charming. Irving walked across the living room and stood in front of a painting Bert's nephew Aaron had painted for his birthday a few years earlier. He'd just been accepted into art school, thanks in part to Bert's constant encouragement, when he made the painting. Paul never liked it and grumbled that none of the bold colors matched anything in their house. Nobody else they knew appreciated it either. It looked like Picasso had tried to paint a cross between a Matisse and a Dali with hints of Edvard Munch and Hieronymus Bosch. It was a visual inside joke, based on many of their conversations about art, and Bert loved it more than some people he knew. Irving turned to smile at Bert, his voice just short of laughter.
I've never seen anything like this.
Well, it's fantastic, he said, and started pointing out different parts of the canvas and each one's influence as far as he could guess. He nailed every one and seemed to enjoy all the references and the cleverness Aaron had used to make it all flow together.
Bert wondered why he had the urge to cover his broad smile with his hand when Paul brought in their coffees. Paul had coffee with them.
Decaf, he said pointedly to Bert, whose coffee was not decaf, and threw out a dozen scenarios that might explain Irving's lapse, his agitation, and how he could possibly know where Bert lived.
Irving liked Paul, but the strong sense of trust and willingness to be open he inexplicably felt was still centered around Bert. Paul's theories were wild and mostly improbable, but Irving thought he had some of the facts right. Namely, Irving knew Bert from the severed floor at Lumen. Somehow, Irving's innie had taken over long enough for him to remember Bert's name on the outside. This was highly irregular and probably something Lumen would have issues with. The third point was the one Paul was most worried about, and it had Irving concerned, too. He finished his coffee while it was still uncomfortably hot, and Paul grabbed his cup to go get him a refill.
Do you never sleep because you drink coffee at night, or do you drink coffee at night so that you never sleep?
Bert asked softly.
Irving grimaced.
He'd had insomnia for years and spent all of his waking hours in a state of exhaustion, painting the same black paintings and trying to break through to the severed part of his brain.
It's been so long, I honestly don't know anymore.
His lip wanted to tremble, so he sucked it into his mouth.
Tell him, Bert urged. He drew an X across his chest. I swear he only wants to help.
So when Paul came back, Irving told him how he'd been looking into the company for years and some of the things that sent up red flags in the information he'd gathered. He didn't say anything else about his background, but what he said was enough to upset Paul.
"You can't be here."
"Paul!" Bert turned to frown at him.
No, I mean they might be on to him. Something's gone wrong. If his innie somehow broke through on the outside, the severance faltered, Lumen is surely going to know about it. Or they might have caused it, trying to see what Irving would do. Something clearly isn't right about this whole situation, and if they know you were friends on the severed floor, they might come looking here.
Irving stood. "You're right, I could be putting you in danger." Bert looked like he didn't believe either of them, but grabbed Irving's arm. "I don't want you to go." How could Irving resist the look that Bert gave him? He was so trusting, so kind. Bert looked at his husband. "Paul?" Paul blew out a slow breath.
"My sister's cabin. We can go there and take a wait-and-see approach."
"But my research is at home, and I can't just leave my dog." "We love dogs," Bert said, his smile growing. "And we can send his sister to gather up anything you need. You shouldn't go back, just in case. I mean, I think we might all be blowing this out of proportion, but I also see no need to take any risks." "Won't that put his sister in danger?" Bert and Paul laughed, then Paul waved off his concern.
"They won't have any reason to suspect her. Besides, she carries a Glock she's not at all afraid to use, and she hates Lumen as much as I do. Jackie will be fine."
Bert leaned in and whispered, "And if they did manage to abduct her, they'd let her go within half an hour. She can complain about something that long without taking a breath." Irving was relieved that Paul laughed along before he slapped his thighs and said,
"Okay, honey, let's grab some things."
Was he really going to do this? Go and stay at a cabin with two men he didn't know? What if they were wrong and it had all been some sort of mistake? He'd be risking his job and years of sacrifice for nothing. He should leave and not look back, and if it did turn out that this was something potentially dangerous, he'd at least keep Bert and Paul from being involved.
"Though you've already involved them, haven't you?"
Paul pulled two duffel bags from the coat closet in the hall, and Bert stood to move close to Irving. He touched Irving's forearms.
"I can see you thinking, you know."
That rush of feeling that came with Bert so close, touching him, was so unfamiliar. So strange, so good, that it almost scared Irving to dig deeper into it.
"Can you?"
"You were thinking about running out and getting in your car and leaving us old coots behind. And I get it, I really do. We're strangers. For all you know, maybe we're crazy old coots."
Bert's gentle grip slid down until they held each other's hands, and they both suddenly squeezed tight enough that Irving's knuckles creaked. The warmth seeped into him and seemed to bring him alive in ways he'd forgotten he could feel.
"I don't want to ever let go."
The feeling was so strong, he almost whispered it before he realized what he was doing.
"I don't think that."
"Good. Because I know you feel this strange familiarity." Bert's eyes seemed to dance in the light as he spoke, and Irving almost couldn't breathe. "These people we are, right now, might be strangers, but some part of us seems to know each other. I'm willing to trust in that and see where it leads us."
"Yes," Irving said, helpless to know what else he should say.
His throat tightened and Bert's smile softened. And then Bert pulled him into the slowest, most cautious hug he could remember being given, as if Bert wanted to give him time to pull away if he wanted. Or as if Irving might shatter if he moved too fast. Irving didn't know where his sudden tears came from. Maybe from that gentleness. Maybe from being hugged. When was the last time anyone had touched him, let alone hugged him this way? Maybe because he still felt unmoored by not remembering how he got there or why. He leaned into Bert, soaking up his warmth and letting himself bask in being embraced after so long. He tried to hold in his emotions, but they overwhelmed him. Bert held him tighter, his hand cupping the back of Irving's neck and sending a strange but pleased shiver down his spine.
Hey, Bert whispered,
Everything's going to be all right. The fresh tears that came then were because somehow this not quite a stranger, with his sweet smile and gentle hands, actually made him believe it. The end. Potfucker's Notes. If you've enjoyed this story, please take this time to let the original author, Cousin Shelley, know. If you've enjoyed this podfic, please let me know. Thanks for joining me.